Grab your Bibles, please. The book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. So we continue to go on through this series on what's a Christian and what impact that has in our lives and our identity towards Him. And in here, we looked at last week the idea that God is light. And if we're going to have fellowship with Him, then we must be in the light as He is in the light. And part of this comes in as, you know, we're not talking about the idea of salvation, that what must I do to be saved? We accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross for us. But because of that relationship, because of what He's done for us, John makes a powerful argument that, look, it needs to impact your life. And we talk about relationships, right? And probably the biggest relationships that we have is, if you're married, as a life-changing relationship, right? And because of that relationship, I do things differently now. Hopefully. You know? And my wife has 28 years invested. Anything good you see, she's been training me for 28 years. Anything bad is what she still has to work on. So pray for her that she has to put up with me. Right? So we look at that relationship. Because of my relationship, it changes me. Same thing with parents, right? You have a child. How life-changing that is in your life. You know, I was sitting at the hospital with my oldest and holding this little tiny life. I'm like, wow. How bad am I going to mess up? Right? And then, you know, first, parents, you load them all up. You bring them down to the car, and they're like, they're really going to let me take this thing home. They really trust me with this, right? And now that changes everything. Right? Our relationship with the Lord needs to have a transformative change in our lives because of the relationship of what He's done for us, of what we were, and who He is. It's an amazing thing. And so in light of that, John chapter 1, he starts going down through and he starts laying out this concept of this light versus darkness. And he makes a strong contrast because of who God is. God is light. God is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. And we're not. And how those two get reconciled in the Lord Jesus Christ needs to have that impact on our lives. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 8 in John chapter 1. I'm backing track just a little bit. I want to cover some things down through. And then we're going to head down into chapter 2 just a little bit. Probably not going to get as far as probably says in your bulletin, but you'll forgive me, right? Imagine me going a little bit slower than what I'm supposed to. All right. John chapter 1. Now I'm just going to start reading in verse 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Little children, these things are right to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We start off with verse 7. It says, look, this is the message we have heard. Right? That God is light. We start off with that contrast. We always got to start, because we can't start on this level. Right? If we start on the level of man the man the woman, all these things, and then what becomes is, well, I'm better than you are. Right? You know, we can all do this. You know, in our lives, we can turn around and say, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not like Zach over here, you know? Oh, don't laugh, because you thought the same thing. Right? And then we start comparing. And what happens is it starts leading down to the road of self-justification. Right? We look at our lives and say, you know what? I'm doing okay. I don't need anything. Right? We start looking around. contrast comes in our lives is that, guess what? I don't compare myself to you. I compare myself to God. And when we start doing that, we're like, oh, wow. You know? If the standard becomes perfection, you know what? I don't match up. Actually, I don't even come close, if we're honest, right? So I'd rather compare myself to Zach. I'm picking up poor Zach this morning, right? I'd rather compare myself to someone else. You know, Rick, you're taking off. I can pick on you. Well, you're not going to come back, right? You know, right? I can do this all day long, but when I look to God, I realize that God is light, and He's the one that I want the relationship with. I fall so short. And it's interesting, so talk about these things, and people start saying, oh, man, you know, Pastor, this isn't really encouraging. Well, the good part comes. Because even though God is perfect and God is holy, He has made a way for us to be with Him. And it's not based on what I can do, but it's based on Him. He turns around and says, look, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, right? That in here, that relationship is built on we have an agreement. We have an agreement. Right? And we look to God, and He says He is light. And if I'm going to have fellowship with Him, I have to be like Him. But once again, I stumble in all that. Verse 8 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? If we will acknowledge our sins to Him, look, what's He say He'll do? He'll forgive us. That sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? But guess what? This is sometimes harder than what we think. Right? You know, if I talk about my marriage relationship, probably the biggest thing is, one, she married an idiot. And oftentimes it's not always easy to apologize. Does anyone find it really easy to say I was wrong? Yeah. You know? I remember watching Happy Days growing up. Remember the Happy Days? You know, Sunday, Monday, Happy Days, right? You know, and there was Fonz, the cool guy, and he could never say that he was wrong, right? It's so hard to come out with those words that I was wrong. To come out with, I'm sorry. And today, you know, you turn on, and I love this, we have politicians and we have celebrities who say some of the dumbest things, who do some of the most dumbest things. And then there's a backlash, and all of a sudden, they get up there and they do sort of the politician's apology. Right? I'm sorry that you were offended. Wait a minute. Hold on. Do you realize what they've just done? It's not what they did, it's, I'm sorry that you took the offense. I'm sorry, you have the problem. That's not an apology, right? Or the flip side of that is, what we're really saying is, I'm sorry I got caught. Right? You ever talk to someone? And they're not really sorry for what they did, they're just sorry that they got caught. As we go down through, we talk about this idea of sin and the bondage that sin has, the weight that sin has, all these things come in. As we come to God, He says, look, if we will confess our sins, the term here, confess, means to acknowledge, to see it from His point of view. What we're doing when we confess our sins is seeing it from His point of view. You know, is that thought that I'm having, is it really that bad? Yeah, it is. Is what I'm doing really that bad? Is it really that offensive? Everyone else is doing it. Once again, we're not talking about this relationship. We're talking about us and God's. I think oftentimes one of the struggles we have, even as Christians, is realizing, look, how offensive sin is to a holy God. Our sin is so bad that Jesus had to die on a cross and shed His blood for the very things that we're harboring in our lives. That's how offensive it is. Right? Just look at the cost. You know, the punishment fits the crime. The Bible says the wages of our sin is what? Is death. Well, wait a minute. It's only a little sin. It's just a little vice that I have. And when we do, when we start justifying it, what happens is it breaks our relationship with God. Because look what He says at the end of this. Right? He says, if we confess our sins, right? If we agree with Him that what I'm doing is wrong, if I agree that what I'm doing is offensive to Him, that what I'm doing is hurting Him, if I realize that and come to that realization, He will forgive me. But if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Right? What happens if I go down through and say, Christian, you know, it's not so bad that I'm over here looking at this site, or looking at these pictures, or looking at these videos. You know what? That's not so bad. I could be doing worse. Right? What that does is put that wall up between me and God. Because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to convict us of sin, that we can have this relationship with Him. And what I'm doing, what I'm saying, and I'm harboring them, my gossip and my anger and all these things we go down through, we say, you know, it's not so bad. And we let it pile up in our lives. And what it does is make us drift further away from fellowship with God. You know, why is it so hard for us? Because it takes an acknowledgement on my side. You know, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. I don't. Right? So what happens in our lives? You know, it's come up through and you know, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, or someone says, hey, you know, are you really, you know, should you really do this? And what happens in our lives, we have a couple choices. Right? Now, I love a good steak and cheese sandwich. You know, off the grill, onions, green peppers, right? Anyone like that? I'll have them throw jalapenos in it if they have it. It's a little bit of a kick in there. I like everything with a little bit of kick to it, right? So they'll cook it up, and I felt bad. I was down here, and the lady was throwing me together one, and I said, oh, yeah, will you? You know, throw the jalapenos in there. Well, you throw jalapenos on the grill, and the poor lady looked like she got hit by a nerve agent. She goes out, her eyes were all water, and she's like trying to do all this, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's so good. And she puts it all together, and you eat it, and then I have to go out visit someone, and I stink. Because all of a sudden now I'm running around with onion breath, jalapeno breath, right? Now imagine if someone said, Pastor, your stinky breath is driving me nuts. I have a choice. Right? I have a choice. I can turn around and say, oh man. You know, maybe I need to go home and brush my teeth, or at very least, you know, get a breath mint or chew some gum, or, you know, do something to kill the offense. Or I can say, well, I can't believe Rick told me I have stinky breath. Oh. So what I'll do is I'll go find someone who has stinkier breath than I do and say, can you believe he said that to me? And they're like, no, your breath is fine. Guess what? We do the same thing with our sin. That in our lives, if it's pointed out, if we're getting a conviction, we have a choice. We can say, yeah, you know what? Yeah. And God offers us a remedy for that. The forgiveness of sin. He offers that if we confess it, He'll forgive it. But sometimes it's easier to find people who are doing the same thing as we are. To justify it. Right? I can't believe that they thought, you know, who are they to say this? Or, you know what, I don't like that part of the Bible. You know, I don't like that verse. I don't like that. And all of a sudden I'll find people who are in agreement to me to justify what I want to do. And how we handle it affects our relationship with the very God who loves us. Or the very God who gave His life for us. And He says, look, if we say, you know what? If I say, I'm not that bad. This John here speaks in very strong terms. You know, it's just a little sin. You know, it's a sin that everyone does it. Everyone is involved in this. It's okay because they look at everyone else. If I say, I'm not so bad, what am I calling God? I'm calling Him a liar. Why? Because God says, you know, what I'm doing is bad. It was so bad that Jesus had to die on the cross for it. Oh, but it's not so bad. I'm making Him a liar. If I justify it, if I excuse it, it starts breaking down the relationship. It says that His Word is not in us. I remember talking to a lady once, and we were talking about the Scriptures. And she goes, you know, I don't like to read the Bible. I said, well, why? So as a Christian, we should want to read the Bible. Because I don't like to read it because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I said, what do you do about it? She goes, I don't read it. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Right? And so in there, he goes on and starts talking and explaining. He says, look, little children, these things have I written to you that you may not sin. Now, is John saying here that we can get to a point of being sinless? Let me know how that works out for you. Guess what? We will never get to that point of being sinless. You know, I've already sinned several times this morning. But in our lives, as we go down through, our goal shouldn't be to live in that sin. To live in that bondage. And so as I'm living out my Christian life, as I come down point and, you know, and I stumble in my walk, then I come up and say, God, I confess that to You. We shouldn't be comfortable in sin. And John says, look, there's something wrong if you're comfortable in your sin. But he goes on further and says, look, I'm writing these things unto you so that you don't sin. But I know you're going to. That's what he says here. But if you do sin, what happens? We have an advocate with the Father. Right? I'm not saying these things to beat us up. It's not a matter of convicting you into something. It's not a bully pulpit type of thing. But in your life, the practical aspect of it is, look, what we do, what we think, what we watch, what we listen to, all these things affect our relationship with God. And when we stumble, and we're going to, you are going to sin. Probably before you can get home, you'll probably sin several times. But praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. See, what happens as we come to Him, right? It's not a matter of being perfect. Being a Christian is not about perfection. Right? I know I've talked to Christians over the years who kind of give up. You know, Pastor, you know, here's the standard, and it's so high, and I hear the preaching, and I'm so convicted, and I carry this weight around, and I'm not good enough. It's not a matter of being good enough. See, as we go down through, what happens is we're in the court of heaven. Right? We have Satan, who is the accuser of the saints, who comes up and says, you know what that pastor did? Pastor John, he's a no-good, rotten scoundrel. How do I plead? Not guilty, Your Honor. I'm so good. Well, wait a minute. If we do that, we make God a liar, right? That's not going to get you anywhere. That's called self-righteousness. Ask the Pharisees how that worked out. Jesus blasted them for their self-righteousness. So what happens is, I'm charged. Right? I'm a no good, rascal, scoundrel, idiot kind of a guy. He did this and he did this, he did that. How do you plead? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And Jesus stands up and says, and I paid for it. I paid for it. I shed my blood for the wrong that he had done. Now picture that scene. What's my response going to be? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Do you see how this draws us closer to Him? By acknowledging our sin, by confessing our sin, of agreeing with Him in our sin, and we look at Him and say, but Jesus, You love me anyways. Thank You. And Jesus, You still have a relationship with me. Thank You. And then when I pick up and walk out the door of that courtroom, I have a choice. I can go back to doing what I used to do. How foolish would that be? How foolish would that be? Or do I walk in that forgiveness and change? And change my life? It says that He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. We were in Sunday school, we were just talking about this. Here's a fancy word to throw at parties. What's your view of propitiation? Right? What? All that means is God is satisfied. All the requirements are satisfied. You know, Marion, you're selling your house. There's a lot of paperwork that has to go down through. And all these things are juggled out, right? And you guys are still kind of waiting for a few little details, right? Wouldn't it be great if your realtor shows up and says, you know what, all the details have been worked out. Everything is satisfied. That's what Christ did for us. That for all our sins, of all the sins we ever did do, every sin we ever will do, Christ has paid for it all. Think of that old hymn. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. And in Maine, we know what snow's like. Right? Thank You, Jesus. I don't deserve it. But thank You, Jesus. And that transforms us in our Christian life. And I think so many of us, and I think as John is writing this letter to these Christians, he says some of the problem that you're having is that your relationship is hindered. Because you're becoming self-righteous. I'm okay. I'm good enough. And what that does is make the gap between us and God bigger. There's power in confession. There's power in forgiveness. Jesus, thank You. I am not worthy of what You did for me, but You did it. Thank You. And that compels us. When Jesus was here on earth, it's interesting. He came down through. And there was a woman who was a prostitute who came to Him. And she threw herself down at His feet with tears and weeping. And the Pharisees were like, if you knew what kind of lady she was. And Jesus says an amazing thing. He goes, that who is forgiven much, loves much. Right? When we come to God, we're saying, you know what, God, I wasn't that bad. You know, for salvation, I just need a little nudge in the right direction. Let me tell you something. Your love for the Lord will be cold. But when we realize the depth of our sin, when we realize how much that hurts Him, as we realize the state that condition that we're in, and the last of all of this, we come down through, and Jesus says, "It is forgiven. Thank you, Jesus." Lord, how could you love me? I don't know, but I'm glad He does. And through our confession, by our humbling ourselves, brings us closer to God. Just real quick, I want to show you this picture. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin which has so easily beset us." The Bible describes sin as a weight, a burden that we load upon. Have you ever felt the shame of your sin? Have you ever felt the consequences of your sin? The weight of it is so great. And Jesus has taken that. He says, taking our burdens and casting them at His feet. When we are saved, He takes that burden off our back. And we are free. And the question is, saying, Christian, when we've been freed from that weight, why in the world will we ever go back and pick that up again? Why? If we're free, leave it behind. As a Christian, you've been freed from your sin. You don't have to go back and doing the things you used to do. The weight and burden and the shame that's weighed upon us is gone, all underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Leave it there. Why are you picking it back up and living like you used to live? Sin binds and imprisons us. And Jesus, through His blood, has made us free. Romans chapter 6 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Right? The argument came in and some Christians were saying, look, if Jesus paid for all my sin, everything I ever did do, everything I will do, then I might as well party it up. I have a get out of jail free card. Woohoo! I'll live it up. Because Jesus loves me anyways. And Paul goes on and says, wait a minute, think about that. He says, God forbid, how shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein it? If we are free from it, why would we go back to it? Right? Why? If sin has lost its hold on us, why would we go back to it?
How about going to Poland?
Pete, you guys have mentioned maybe of going to one of the camps. Did you guys go to one? I'll have to talk to you later on. I was listening to a pastor. You talked about this. He had gone. I can't remember if it was Poland, but anyway, he talked about going to one of the concentration camps and walking down through. And he said it was just a life moving thing, where the Germans had brought in with the Jews and killed them. And he talked about this with one Jewish man. And the opportunity came in and said, look, do you want to go back? Well, he was brought to the camp as a young boy. And he had spent several years at the camp. And through circumstances, was released. And they asked him, I said, do you want to go back and see? His response was, why would I ever go back? Why would I ever go back? Christian, the condition that I was of being lost, of being blind, of being dead, of being separated from God, why, when we are set free, would we ever want to go back? But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Christian, we should live in forgiveness. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who's been freed from sin. That we can have fellowship with Him. That we don't have to go back into it. We don't have to dwell in it. But we have the freedom. And no, being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. Not by a long shot. But what it means is that yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. Think of the song that goes, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Right? That should be the theme for us Christians. Is that our hymnal? Put my wife on the spot. I don't know. I don't even know the name. What's the title of the song? What? Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Right? This is my story. And that's where the power of the Christian life comes in. It's not my selfish righteousness. It's not what I have done. It's what He has done. And what it does is that it brings us closer to God. That self-denial, that self-righteousness, that self-piety drives us further away. This morning, is there something that you need to come to the Lord and say, "You know what, Lord? This has been an offense to You. Lord, this is something that You shed for me. You died on the cross to free me from this thing that I'm hanging on to." Say, "Lord, take it. I admit I'm wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, have Your perfect way in my life." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we thank You that You loved us so much. That You didn't leave us in our lost condition, Lord, but You saved us. Dear Lord, search my heart. Lord, I pray You turn my eyes upon You. Lord, help me leave my sin behind. Lord, I want to have fellowship. I want to have that relationship with You above all else. I give up the things that are, Lord, acting as that barrier. Thank You, Lord, that You will forgive. You will restore. We ask this in Your name. Amen.